paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And here we are once again on this Friday, the 13th of March, 2015, Friday night, and here we are again, heading into a weekend of, what they call it, St. Patty's Day or something in some places, I suppose. Always got some kind of holiday, don't they? We've all attended, one way or another, somehow or another, holidays, birthdays, whatever, these things. Well, you notice in Johnny Cash's songs these days, in the latter days of his life, is different than the original start off of Johnny Cash, a singing about drinking and driving and drunk and all this and all that, and it changed. He changed. God has a way of doing that to people. Changing them. And it shows up in their lives one way or another. Sometimes the best testimony are friends that knew you before and they say, boy, you're a lot different. Sometimes they like you that way. And sometimes they say, man, I don't like the way you are now. You used to be fun. You used to be fun, or what's wrong with you? Or someone says, I like what's different in you. It depends who you talk to. Notice the music changes. You ever notice that? You can't listen to the same old songs you used to. Now, why would that be? With the music having frequencies of some kind, doesn't match the frequencies of your body born again. How about that? Frequency. It's all about frequency. vibration of your molecules and particles and all this stuff. When you become born again, your body frequencies, molecules change. God changes it through the Holy Spirit. When he knows that you've are really sincere about it. I'm going to talk about the end times events tonight. A little bit about the Holy Spirit. A little bit about it. A study of the Holy Spirit I see coming. The movement of the Holy Spirit took the place of Jesus, but not really, just Jesus in another form. Jesus is still there, yet he's not here. He's there, but with you always. What? What? We're not by me again? You can't think of it from a humanistic point of view. Materialistic thoughts don't match what God's supernatural plan is. His world's not of this world. Therefore, if you're born again, you're moving further away from this world. Would you not? Yep. And when you do, in the Bible, things change to the point that they even change names. Paul and Saul, Satan and Lucifer, good and bad. Names change because the person's different. Therefore, they changed the names to match who the person was. Why would they do that? Wouldn't it be the same person? No, names are important. Dedicate the broadcast. A lot to talk about. All this, these concepts. The Holy Spirit gives you insight to things. And sometimes you wonder, where'd that come from? But then you kind of know, but you still ask the question. I don't know how I knew that. But really, you know, but you still ask the question. Down deep, you know where it comes from. But nowadays, they're replacing it with technology. That's what the Bible's about. When the thoughts that you have, you say, well, wait a minute, that's not in the Bible. That's not coming from God. I'm really hearing voices, audible voices. Wow, God talked to me. No. God talks to you through the Holy Spirit, through your heart, not by audible voices anymore. There's Christians that are hearing audible voices. That ain't God. And then to match it, and it doesn't match with Scripture, you know it's not God. Try the spirits. Those days are coming for a lot, already come for a lot of people. Let's dedicate the broadcast. And tonight, Holy Spirit, and we'll talk about prophecy as according to the Bible. And see where we go. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. We come together with you, Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, we come tonight again with a Bible study. Father, we lift before you our praise, our study. Father, we're praying for our family and friends and those we've asked been prayed for before. For Diana's daughter, a quick labor, a labor safely, and a birth safely. Father, we pray for Sarah. Father, we pray for those that we've been asked to, the Marines that died the past 5 days that we heard about, and Lord, those in the helicopters that crashed, that we pray for their families. And all the others, Father, that we see coming up, that we pray for the families, for comfort in these times of sorrow. Father, pray tonight to lead us this Bible study. Father, we lift before you this study. Father, forgive us of our sins and remind us of those sins that we've not remembered, that we need to repent of, to clear that debt up. We pray, Lord, you're with us always to guide us. And we thank you, Lord, for the infirmities you give us that makes us stronger. And Father, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Father, we know that these things that are there to make us stronger. We thank you, Lord, for those hardships you give us. And we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, when Jesus Christ ascended, they thought they were going to be left alone. But he said, no, I'll be with you always. Even to the ends of the earth. To the end of time. People consider the end of time as, well, that's it. It's over. No, that's a beginning. End of time means eternity. We tend to attribute the end of time as, it's all over then. We're just going to blank out and annihilate and it's over. No, it's just beginning. The end of time means there's no more marked time. There's eternity. If you have eternity, you don't need a clock. That's why it says the end of time. And with the hopes of winning a record jackpot of $640 million, Americans spend an estimated $1.5 billion on tickets in a multi-state lottery in early 2012. And the odds of winning were staggering, 1 in 176 million. But people stand in lines at grocery stores, gas stations, cafes, to buy that one chance to become rich. Something inside us all, inside those that's, well, not all, but I'm sorry, some inside a lot of Americans makes us think more money will solve our problems and improve our lives. Money gives you liberty. Had one Freemason shift supervisor under me in a contract where I was a manager of a security company in a BP oil refinery. We were talking about money and Freemasonry, and we were talking about all kinds of stuff like that. And I'll never forget, he had a Cadillac, like a up-to-date Cadillac, you know, and he had his own side business, same time being security supervisor under me, and still looking at cars. I said, man, what do you keep looking at cars for? You got a car out there some people could use for a house and live in. All you need is water and a sink. He said, no, man, I'm looking for next car. I said, I hate to break your busted bubble. But that car you're looking at now, and that car you see out there, they're going to turn into a rust bucket eventually. They won't last. It's not possible. They will turn into a rust bucket, and probably that's what I call reincarnation. Reincarnation. That's real reincarnation. That metal is going to turn into another car. Didn't like that too much. I said, what's it all about? He said, money. And I saw him make a fist where the knuckles were white. Money's power. I said, you got to be kidding me. It's power. A man identified in the Bible as Agur, not Igor, okay? Agur, A-G-U-R. And he had a different perspective on riches when he asked God to grant him two requests before he died. I guess it'd be his, couldn't call it a bucket list, his teacup list. Yeah, okay. Anyway, he said, remove falsehood and lies far from me. Proverbs 30, verse 8. Integrity is a key to living without anxiety. Let me tell you, I know for a fact. I can tell you from experience. When you have nothing to hide, we have nothing to fear. When we have nothing to hide, you have nothing to fear. Only those with something to hide are the ones who attack you for telling the truth. You notice that? I mean, this is all the way up to president, king, queen, CEO, whoever. You have nothing to hide. You have nothing to fear. That is profound. Nothing to hide. You have nothing to fear. And those who have fear, anger, hate, distraction, nervousness, it shows up in your reaction. The 10 ways to tell when someone's lying. It's all you're doing is reading body language. You know, they talk about scratching the nose and the chin and not looking in the eyes. All it is an outer manifestation of trying to hide your fear. It's real simple. Reverse accusation is a way to hide your fear when you're trying to hide a lie. You reverse accusation. False accusation. Project onto someone else that which you are doing. Deceit will enslave. And this kind of goes along with, well, it actually, I just found this, I just kind of came up with this afternoon, this evening, after broadcast. Here we go again. It kind of matches broadcast, actually. You know, and I think about it, when I had that, I call epiphanies, I get every now and then, at all hours of the night, I get up out of bed and say, oh my gosh, I got to write about this. That's what it was, my message to those so-called generals. The ones, generals, that are part of the Illuminati, CFR, etc. They live a life of deceit. The day they wake up, the day they go to bed. There's two people in that body. The pseudo-Christian, pseudo-patriot, pseudo-family man. And then the deceiver. Because of the blood oath of to tell a lie. To hide from your fellow veterans, or not veterans, but fellow active duty members, what you're really up to at the Council of Foreign Relations, at the behind the scenes, the secret societies, and so forth and so on. Pretending to be a patriot, knowing very well you're pushing for a North American Union. You can't do both. Yet you have barbecues together while you deceive them. Deceit will enslave you. Honesty is liberation. Not even money is not liberating. A lot of money, actually, I wanted to say embalm you. Riches actually enslave you. Second, he said, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me. Verse 8. Contentment springs from trusting God as our supplier and gratefully accepting what he provides. Even if it's bad, what we consider bad, like Job, heard a ministry tonight, I was listening, and what happened to Job? But Job still praised God no matter what happened. Agur, A-G-U-R, said of the Creator, he established all the ends of the earth. He's a shield to those who put their trust in him. Verse 4 to 5. So your integrity and contentment are the riches of the soul. That's available to everybody. And Jesus is pleased to give these treasures to everyone who asks. Theologian Brannon said, contentment does not come from wealth. It's not something you can buy. Contentment comes to give you the peace when you depend on God's supply. Discontentment makes you poor. Contentment makes you rich. Something somebody can't take away. Who guides us today, since Jesus is not physically on the earth, but the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit is a mystery to everybody, it seems like. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is thus fully God and a person, not a force. The Roush, breath, wind, and spirits. That Spirit of God appears in the Old Testament as God's energy let loose, the Holy Spirit. Shares in creation, reveals God's messages to us in our heart, and teaches us to live, how to live fruitfully, and enables faith, pushes repentance, obedience, praise, prayer, strong and wise leadership, skill for creative work, writing, whatever. And you know, the New Testament also adds that the Spirit is still distinct from the Father and the Son. He was his disciples' ally, the advocate, the counselor, the strengthener, the supporter. Some people try and get others to believe it's a female spirit, that God's the Father, Holy Spirit's the Mother, and Jesus Christ is the Son. The Spirit reveals to us who Jesus is and what he wants us to know. From the heart, not with audible voices, but from the heart. He lets you know that inkling you get, inspiration. He convicts believers and unbelievers of guilt. And that's why, that's very important to know. Because if you have that guilt, you come to church expecting someone to hear it or to get rid of that guilt by worshiping God, and you got rock and roll music, it ain't going to work. Or Kundalini, they roll around on the floor, jumping pews and doing cartwheels. All that, it doesn't get it. Word spoken, la ba shaba la ba da ba la ya la 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 la, whatever, I don't know what. And you don't have a clue what you're saying, and neither does anybody else. That don't worship God. How can it possibly? When I'm saying words, I don't even know what they're talking about. How can that even glorify God? I'm saying all these words, that's some language I don't even know. And God knows I don't know. That ain't God, family. There's no way. Bible even confirms you have to have an interpreter. What if you interpret yourself? Whatever. You at least got an interpreter. You're not just saying blah, 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 yada, 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 and don't know what you're saying. Well, someone told me one time, just make the words, make the sounds. I said, make the sounds. Yeah, because you hold your spirit, communicate with the Holy Spirit. I said, I don't know what the dickens I'm saying. Well, it's okay. I said, it's not okay. He says, it's okay. I said, well, he says, your spirit's communicating with the Holy Spirit. I said, I still don't know what they're saying. So you mean my spirit is talking behind my back? Oh, Tom, you're impossible. I said, no. I don't, no. I said, I'm not buying it. Because you got to have an interpreter. Bible says so. To know what you're saying. Tongues back then, gifts of spirit, had an interpreter. Number two, the other form of talking in tongues was that there were so many different cultures back then, different places. Family, they didn't have Pilsner back then to learn different languages so quick. So when they spoke Hebrew, the Holy Spirit supernaturally, miraculously, allowed the person hearing it, even though they didn't know the language, to hear the gospel in their own language. But they knew what they were saying. It's like someone that don't speak French is speaking. Holy Spirit allows the French people to hear what's being said in French. And you're speaking French, don't even know what you're saying at all, but they do. That would be speaking in tongues. Or someone's interpreting in the church of what's coming to you through the Holy Spirit. you know what you're saying. They know what you're saying. But that ain't what's going on today. Churches, bad news. Now, Kundalini is satanic. It mediates our intimate sharing with the Father and Son, our first installment and guarantee of heaven's life. And it transforms us progressively, that through prayer, conflict with sin, into Christ's moral and spiritual likeness. If it's in God's will, He gives us the power to love, to have joy and peace. It's Galatians 5, 22, 23. We all love, but sometimes we have relationships and marriages, and some of us don't. Sometimes we're not meant to. It's all in God's hands, whatever. Sometimes if you have a family and you're to be an evangelist, you're to be a watchman, that you are not saddled with a family. You're just doing God's work, and that's all He wants you to do. I don't know. You'll know when the time comes. And sometimes what He's given you is temporary. It's up to Him. He gives gifts. And the gifts He gives you is for you to pass around. The ability is to witness and serve, to build up Christ's body, to glorify God. You glorify God through the gifts you get. You don't get gifts so you can receive trophies in man's world. He prays in and for us when we feel unable. He gives us words to speak when we have to. Sometimes He enables us to know what to say when others ask about Christ that you might not have known before. And you might say to the words to the effect, I don't know where I got that from, but it sure came out. Enables missionary action, pastoral decisions and leadership, of which you might not have had training for, of mankind. But you're able to do it, as well as others. So how do you know about counterfeit gifts? Discern false or marred gifts. Ask yourself, if the Holy Spirit represents Christ, so is this gift that I have, whatever it is, does it misrepresent or displace or dishonor Jesus Christ? 1 John 4, 1 to 6. Ask yourself, the Holy Spirit will not contradict what He said to the apostles and apostles who wrote the Bible. They won't contradict. So is this gift you have or what you're saying, does it undermine the authority or teaching of the Bible? King James Bible is the final authority. It didn't say final opinion. It's the final authority. And you ask yourself, does exercising this gift tear down the body? Does it give dissension or other harm to the body of Christ? Huh. And then you ask yourself, is this gift being used in any way other than in love? Like personal gain. Am I using this gift to get personal gain? For riches, it's going to be burned up anyway. Just a few questions. Well, I was going to say, the Holy Spirit convicts, right? Oh, I got off track on one part. Sorry. So, what they got you doing now is like that song. Don't worry, be happy. Live your life. Get your bucket list. Make you feel better. Eat a piece of chocolate. Something makes you feel better. Now, hold on a minute. This me feeling bad means I did something bad and the Spirit's convicting me. And eating a piece of chocolate ain't going to make it feel better. Ain't going to take it away. That's why revenge never works. That's reflected in a lot of TV nowadays. I must revenge him. I must revenge me. I have to revenge my country. Here we go. TV. It's all about revenge. I must be avenged because of this, what they did to me, you know, and all that stuff. It's what you get. Pride. So they come through with Dale Carnegie, Norman Vincent Peale, Robbins, whatever, prosperity teaching. We're all sinners, all of us. Sometimes we don't get what we deserve because we're sinners. Christ died on the cross, we may live. We're all sinners. Our best deeds can never fulfill what we've, or take the place of what we've done. But Jesus Christ did on the cross. How will people be saved during the tribulation? If there's no believers on earth at the beginning of the 7 years of tribulation, there'll be two witnesses, 144,000 sealed Israelites, Revelation 11, verse 3, and Revelation 7, verse 4. And when you add to it, Dr. Henry Morris, he, a theologian, suggested that there's a silent witness because millions upon millions of copies of Bible portions will not be removed. Multitudes will no doubt be constrained to read the Bible in those days. We'll turn to the Creator and Savior. These type of blood-bought believers will begin to warn others of even more severe judgment to come. As I said before, they'll preach repentance and judgment, and they'll be killed for this message, souls under the altar. But being killed is being taken. People start leaving, you're going to wonder where they're going. Because this earth is going to get judged something terrible. You don't want to be here in the first place. The death education that's taught in the schools today and before, and going back, values clarification, death education teaches you that death is final. Okay, kiddies, we're going to the cemetery today. Get your pencils and pens and, excuse me, get your pencils and paper. Find your favorite headstone and make a drawing of it. Etch it. We'll write your epitaph when you get back. Oh, fun time. Ever did that? For English class? Write your own epitaph? Go find the oldest tombstone and etch it. You know, scrape your carbon pencil back and forth and bring it back and put it up on the wall. Oh, that's death education. It's got a purpose for it. To teach you that death is final. When you're dead, you're dead. Well, no, it's not true. You're not just dead. So you're taught to fear death. We have public viewing of our dead loved ones. It's final. They're sleeping. Everybody's crying and wailing and all that. Don't tear their clothes because the clothes are expensive these days. So, and as a kid, you go to the funerals in the South, especially in the mountains, they take pictures and put them in albums. And they plant you. They don't bury you. They plant you in the Appalachian Mountains. Where are you going? Well, we're going to plant Uncle Jed tomorrow. We're going to plant him. What happens when you plant somebody? They grow. A flower, you plant a flower, it grows in something else. That's why they call it planting. It's the mountains. When the tribulations begin, you'll know when, but you can't predict when, but you'll know when it happens. Well, from that point is a start, you know what's coming next. They're not going to believe you because people have been fooled for centuries. Oh, I've heard that before, but in reality, you'll be right this time because there is a time frame. Once it begins, you'll know. That's how why God set that up that way. Seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls in order in a 7-year period. Blood brought believers that begin to warn others of even more severe judgment to come, and it will come until such time that they're removed. They'll preach repentance, judgment. They'll be killed for their message. Are there two raptures? People say there are. Are there one? People say they are. It's all God's business. So then what will happen to those that die? Well, the Lord sends an angel for their own special blessing. Because in Revelation 14:13, it says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. So, as the New Testament began with the beatitudes of Jesus for the living, it ends with the beatitude of Jesus for the dying. And that's the second of the seven beatitudes found in the book of Revelation. You know, those words are written for those who died during the tribulation period. And you know, they're also written for the saints of every generation, for the dead in Christ of all ages even. And these believers do not die in the sense of death being the end, like the end of time. It's not really the end of time, it's just the beginning of eternity, where there is no time, so time ends. Well, believers do not die in the sense of death being the end. They're simply waiting for the coming of the Lord. Blessed are those who've gone to sleep in Jesus. So, if you're saved during a time that you know is a tribulation, how come I just can't have fun right now, do what I want to do? When I see it happen, if we're in it, then I'll convert. But until then, I want to enjoy my life and do my bucket list. Well, as death terminates the day of possible salvation, that moment of death is decided. And for those who reject Christ, so does the rapture, whenever it happens. Because you're not going to be here for the wrath of God, whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, or somewhere in the middle. You're not going to be here for the wrath of God, in one way or another. Being here for the wrath of God upon His church would be like God bringing wrath upon Himself. Those who've heard the gospel message, rejected it, will be given a strong delusion. Remember, the unforgivable sin is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Since Jesus is no longer here, that's not possible. So the next equivalent to that would be unbelief. And for those in unbelief, heard the message, rejected the message, they will be given a strong delusion during the tribulation period, not allowed to repent. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 to 12 says in the King James Bible, And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. They say, I don't believe this, Tom. How could it be that I can live at least a good life and be saved if I was to do that? And yet this murderer and rapist can just at the last moment say, I believe in you, Lord, take me as I am, and it's over. It's not fair. I said, well, number one, that's God's business, not ours to even worry about. That's God's business. God knows the heart. But I said, number two, that's not necessarily true. And I cite this about being given a spirit of delusion, that God won't let them repent because they rejected him. He sends a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That's why he tells us to move on. Once you plant the seed, it's not working, dust your feet, get going. And Revelation 13 tells us that it will be the lies of the beast and the Antichrist. And those lies will counterfeit the life of Christ and bring deception. And believing these deceptions, the people have rejected the gospel before the tribulation, they will go to hell without opportunity to receive Christ. I don't mince words. You know, the day of grace will be over for them. There'll be no second chance. Family, the worst person in the world, the human being, if we don't judge that, but I don't think people realize what hell's like. Even for them, when you say, oh man, go to hell, I don't think people realize what they're saying. Words are powerful. And spending eternity in hell is something that our minds cannot even fathom in the absolute worst nightmares of our lifetime. You can't imagine it. That's why God gives people plenty of opportunity. Time and time again. Only God knows the end from the beginning. But be warned. Better not wait to become a Christian. And I don't mean in believing in Christianity. I mean to become a Christian. And not just saying you're a Christian, but living it, being born again. When you've heard people reason like this before, it kind of makes you wonder about someone's legitimate desire to know God, if it's coupled with a desire to beat the system. You can't sit on the fence. You got to pick one side or the other. Everybody's trying to beat the system, take shortcuts. It ain't going to happen here. Don't let anyone tell you that you can beat the system. And you can beat the system by waiting to become a Christian until the tribulation. Because at a point in time, God's going to turn you over to reprobate mind. Or it'll happen so dramatically, you'll panic out. Or worst of all, you'll be deceived. That's very important to know. And you know, the reason more people aren't saved today is because of deception. And have we not talked about in the broadcast I've given how the deception is so incredible before our eyes? It's amazing. Even the very elect will be deceived if it's all possible. But you know, as it goes along, the tribulation, that's why they try to tell you, Calvinists and Preterists and others, that it's not in order. But it is in order. Because you notice the seals, trumpets, and bowls all get more intense as they go along. Worse and worse and worse. Stacked upon one another. The more people reject God, it gets worse and worse and worse. You know, you'd think that they'd turn to him and cry for mercy. Instead, they curse him who sends judgment on the earth. So, those who reject the truth now will be deceived. And they'll never believe the gospel when they hear it preached. So the Bible teaches that today is the day of salvation, not to wait around. The bucket list. Man, just kick the bucket. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Today is the day of salvation. Just don't try to get around God's plan. You're not going to beat the system. One day soon, Jesus Christ is coming back, and if you've already rejected him, the day of opportunity will be gone. They give you plenty of opportunity. There's a point that he'll take it away from you. Now, it talks about in there about death and suicide. Even though men will seek to die and suicide will be attempted, death won't be possible. Revelation 9, verse 6. In those days, men will seek death and not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. Can you imagine that? It'd be an awful experience, like Groundhog Day in a TV movie. Keep coming back. You don't die. They won't be left. See, that kind of matches out, don't it? Their desire to want to live forever, transhumanism, eugenics, cybernetics, etc. Well, God say, you want it? Okay, you got it. Be careful what you wish for. During a time of judgment, you might want to die. So you're not able to, because whatever has been done has given you a life where no death will happen. I think God allows this to happen. I don't think mankind's technology does it. You know, the only people that demons are allowed to sting are those who do not belong to God. I think we'd all be surprised if you're born again and the government's been bombarding you with these ELF waves and all that sort of thing, and what may have happened that you never really knew about. Every now and then you might have a headache or hear noises or something that's not there. The technology involved. I guess we'd all be surprised to see how God's protected you all this time. The only people these demons are allowed to sting in the end times events were the countless demons from the pit running unchecked throughout the world during the period of the trumpets. The only people whose demons are allowed to sting are those who do not believe or belong to God. Verse 4 of Revelation 9, verse 4. The poison from the sting of these creatures will set the nerve center on fire. Verse 10. And this evil will be stretched out over 150 days, and death cannot possibly escape. Now, what about promiscuity during the days of the tribulation? Well, when the divine restrainers withdrawn from the tribulation, human passions are going to break loose. Morality will be discarded in favor of liberty and sexual immorality. Revelation 22:15. It'd be like in the days of Noah, rampant immorality. What to do in satanic worship. It'd be exemplified during this period of time. So who else is going to teach us all that's left back here or whatever that happens? Those two witnesses, how about them? Nobody really knows who they are. Elijah, Moses, Enoch, Moses, Enoch, Elijah, are two people that's not been mentioned yet. Nobody knows. We're told, though, that Elijah in Malachi 4, they think it's Elijah and Moses. That's the most popular thought. It's Elijah's going to come before Jesus returns. Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. And you know, in 1 Kings 17, Elijah stopped the rain. Revelations 11, 6. Witnesses have power to shut heaven that no rain falls in days of their prophecy. You know, another reason that it might be Elijah is because Elijah didn't die. But in Enoch, he didn't die either. Elijah was taken to heaven, Elijah, in a whirlwind of fire. It wasn't a UFO either. The second witness, however, could be Moses. In Exodus 7, 20 and 21, Moses turned the water into blood. And Revelation 11, verse 6, the two witnesses are said to have power over waters to turn them to blood. But just because they did doesn't mean they're still Elijah and Moses. All this is speculation. Moses died, but no one knows where his body is buried. Deuteronomy 34, 5 verses to 6. So was the body of Moses preserved by God so that he might be restored? But then again, the bodies will be restored in tribulations anyway. And also remember that it's significant that Elijah appeared with Moses in transfiguration. So it is impossible to prove conclusively that these two witnesses are. But if they're not Moses and Elijah, you can know that they're very much like them and have the same kind of ministry. Some people will just be darned and determined to say, no, it's a Moses and Elijah's coming back. Nobody knows. I know. I wrote a book about it. Okay. All right. That's what they do. Herman Hoyt said, and I quote, in these days of crisis, our trust should not rest in a nation that may shortly disappear. Huh. But in him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. That's where, family, I got a beef with the prosperity period. Your riches are coming to you. You're going to get back what Satan took. God's going to reward you with all the riches back that he took from you in prosperity period. I said, really? Then God's going to destroy it? That's a little odd. Isn't that Indian giving? Why would God give me all the riches that Satan took away and only to destroy it later? It doesn't make one lick of sense. Not a lick. Could it might be that they're talking about the jubilation period, the jubilee, the Antichrist that's coming back with peace and prosperity? Could it possibly be that? The day of declaration, the day of, what do they call it? The day of declaration or disclosure. Sanan de Manuel, the fallen angel, to come as a false prophet who looks like Jesus Christ, that we think looks like Jesus Christ. What do I call him? The hippie Jesus. Any Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That to me is profound to realize that the Jesus we see in paintings and portraits and all this, holding the lamb and all that sort of thing, with long hair, man, that can't possibly be Jesus. You know where that came from? Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo. And guess what? Yeah, da Vinci was an avatar of the fallen angels. So was Michelangelo. Michelangelo was supported by the Illuminati. That's certainly. I think it was Medici or Borgia. Medici, I think, supported Michelangelo. Leonardo da Vinci painted the Last Supper. Well, newsflash. Nobody was there. Leonardo da Vinci doesn't have any kind of insight from the Holy Spirit. So how do you know who was sitting where? And he painted the hippie Jesus. Long hair. See, the glory of a woman is her hair. Well, they cover it. The glory of a woman is her hair, her long hair. So that would certainly mean that men who should have short hair. This distinguishes the male from the female, among other things, of course. The glory of the woman is in the hair. It's in the scriptures. That's why in the 60s, they all started wearing long hair. Beatles, rock and roll singers. In the 1980s, now you know. Goes against the scriptures. They have long hair. Jesus didn't have long hair. But the hippie Jesus, Sanan Emmanuel, Yeshua, fallen angel, E.T. is coming, got long hair. I call him the hippie Jesus. All this time. They still do it today. They'll have pictures of the Jesus that we think is Jesus long-haired in all the Easter places. You try to say, that's not Jesus. They didn't think you going crazy. Sunrise service. Sun worship. Oh, man. I tell you, you say that, they'll say, man, go call the cops. Get this guy out of here. But it's true. After 42 months, during the time that they cannot be killed, they'll be killed by the beast who ascends from the bottomless pit. And these two witnesses are so hated by the entire world that the entire world will rejoice at their death later. Their bodies will be put on public display. Their bodies will lie out in the street for 3.5 days. Revelation 11, 7 to verse 10. And in biblical Jesus society, it was an abomination. Enemies would be ecstatic that someone was finally putting an end to these two nemesis of the Antichrist. They're already decomposing. Rigor mortis has set in. But the next action is that they will stand up. The whole world will see this because they are looking at the scene through the news and the papers, internet probably, maybe, who knows, where they're the focus of world attention. They're not only resurrected, they're raptured out. And not by a particle beam, by supernatural. Revelation 11, verse 12. They go up to heaven in a cloud, not a UFO, don't even go there. And that cloud is a kind of a shemakah, glory of God. It's the same cloud which the angel of Revelation 10:1 was clothed. Bring them up. You know, we ended exactly at 9 o'clock. Two witnesses. All this is yet to happen. And they say this is the end? No. Not even close. It's only a beginning. People don't realize that. Family, when you were born, the day you were born, the day you came out crying and I'm hungry and I need some loving now. I'm hungry right now, and I'm not happy. Okay, now I'm happy. I'm cooing. But quit poking your finger in my cheek and give me some darn food now, okay? From that day you're born, man, you landed in what we call in the Marine Corps a hot LZ, a hot landing zone, unfriendly territory except for the mother and father and, well, others around you at that moment. But from that point on, the world ain't friendly. Satan is prince of this world. God of this world is Satan. When Jesus Christ comes back, it all changes. No more seven ashram rays, as they call them, or influence of Satan around and symbols and all that nonsense. No more. God will rebuild, Jesus will rebuild the human race, morality. Mortals will have children. Remember, the 7 years, that point before the 1,000-year millennial, mankind was virtually wiped out. Got to rebuild the human race again. So that's 1,000 years we're all about, to start over. And then those in that 1,000 years will have never been subjected to the temptations of Satan. That's why Satan is only restrained during that 1,000 years. Because after 1,000 years, God will now take that population that's built up and give them the opportunity to make their choice. Adam and Eve had a choice in the Garden of Eden. Mankind had a choice from Satan operating on this plane. Well, the ones in 1,000 years will then have their opportunity for a short season. And apparently some take it, because the last and final battle will be Gog and Magog at the end of 1,000 years. And of course, Satan just doesn't learn. God will win that one with a voice and then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Satan will be cast finally in the lake of fire permanently, where the false prophet, the Antichrist, was already keeping things warm. And then begins eternity. First fruit's out, second fruit's out, and 1,000 years. They're tested. Some fail. A war breaks out, Gog and Magog. Satan defeated in the lake of fire. New heaven, new earth, eternity begins. That's what happens, according to Scripture. Extraterrestrial menaces will pop up somewhere along the way. While there are fallen angels and demons trying to deceive mankind and believing they exist as demons, as aliens or whatever. It's been set up for the longest time. Lukewarm Christians that believe God used evolution to create man, the Big Bang and all that, will fall away and believe, oh my gosh, we've been lied to. In Book of Enoch is true. We're seated by aliens. Okay. Then I'm going to ask, if I'm still here, I'm going to say, big boy, where'd y'all come from? If you seated us, who done seated you? Family, they're demons. They came to us as the sons of God in the Old Testament. Came to us as the Greek mythological gods, but that's the cover. In the 19th century, they were spirits. Swedenborg confirms it. 20th century, thereabouts, aliens, which is also a lie. They come as the technology increases, as they can masquerade to fool mankind. That's the role they play. They're called the hierarchy, the community, the great white brotherhood, ascended masters, superheroes. That's where the superheroes comes from, the comic book strips and all that stuff. That's what they're preparing people for. Hadn't happened yet. That's the great falling away when it does. Stay unto the end, faithful unto the end. Because the end times events, everything that happened, is going to be worldwide. Not co-located with Pakistan, and that's what you see it on the internet. That's not the tribulations, family. It'll be up close and personal. All at the same time on the earth. America's not going to slide by. Ain't going to happen nowhere. Family, I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to first remind you that my radio broadcast is also played randomly at highpointradio.net, not on a regular basis, but a random set, no certain time. And highpointradio, one word, .net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. And he has sponsors up there, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. If you go to his website, you'll find those sponsors and use them if you can at all. For anything you need. Or just donate to John. All he does for me, which I appreciate, is play my broadcast of my Bible studies. My website is watchmanforjesus.com, where I have my archives. Studies, I have some studies there as well. And my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. I'm not an apostle, I'm not a disciple, I'm not any of that stuff, but being a watchman is a choice. Or you just call me Tom, who keeps up with the current events in the Bible. Whatever. But I do know what's going on. Learn something new every day. You never, 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 ever will figure this thing out, what's going on. Some things you just won't know. That's okay by me. If you know the Bible, they can't pull the wool over your eyes. If you've got the Holy Spirit in you, well, they can't anyway. But there are deceivers out there in a big way, and it comes with a smile, and I'm a Christian. Yeah. Watch what they say. It's got to be scriptural. Be careful of misdirection. He hasn't seen anything yet. Man, this is nothing but practice. May not be this generation. It may be September the 12th, 2017. Who the dickens knows? But as long who knows? Just be ready any time. That way you ain't got to worry about it. And God will give you opportunities to witness to others. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you tonight. We come together in another Bible study, Father, at the end of this week. And Father, we just give you praise. Father, we're praying for those that are sisters and brothers that need help. We pray for the healing, for the coverage of your blood over their walk with you. Bringing families together, using opportunities to witness to those in secret societies, Father, to renounce those blood oaths they've taken. To find a way to shake up their world, Lord, that they'll know to renounce these blood oaths and get out of these secret societies. Father, we do thank you for the opportunities you give us to study your word and preach your word and witness to others the word of God. We pray for an awakening in these churches. And to bring together the King James Bible that it'll be used. But Father, we ask for wisdom, ask for wisdom and discernment of these end times events. That we may use it to talk to other people and Father, to bring them over. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Satan put you in chains. Funny we talk about that today. Now it kind of dawns on me. I'm a little slow sometimes. That these sins that are put before us, money, deceit, is a chain that ties us down. But God sets us free. And he'll break those chains. That's what it's all about. That's freedom. Is breaking those chains. We'll see y'all next week. Good night. God bless. This is your watchman, Thomas Gamble. Signing off. God bless y'all. Good night. Thank you.
make every change.